Linda was a young woman who, in her teenage years, through the invitation of some friends, joined her local church youth group. She had not been a church goer, family had not been church goers, but she liked the vibe that came from this crowd of teenagers who did stuff together, as well as learnt the Bible, was introduced to Jesus. In the middle of all that, she what we would call, she found faith. She welcomed Jesus into her life as a teenager and began that whole adventure and journey with Christ. In the middle of all that, in the youth group that she was in, they were encouraged time and time again to sort of let their light shine, to make sure that the people around them in their home, in their classroom, wherever they mixed, knew something of the presence of Jesus that lived in their lives. She wanted to do that with all her heart, and at times got very frustrated with the way that she forgot or missed opportunities or beaten herself up because, you know, there was somebody I could have talked to and I didn't. There's somebody I could have prayed for. She left school and achieved her ambition. She wanted to be a hairdresser, and so she trained in hairdressing and got a job and continued to worship Jesus, continued to be part of this group, continued to try to grow in her faith, but equally frustrated because she was continually encouraged in her workplace to share Christ and didn't feel that she could or had the confidence to do it. Until one day, when she was in a church gathering like this, and whoever was speaking invited people to respond to what he or she had said, and as she came to the front, as often happens, to be prayed for, something happened in her, but not as a result directly of the prayer that was prayed. Because what happened in traditional, I guess, evangelical circles, she came to the front and somebody offered to pray for her, and they put their hands on her head. She has no idea what they prayed, but in that moment she felt God, the Holy Spirit, speak to her. And she realized that every day of the week, several times over, she did what was happening to her now. She laid hands on people as she massaged the shampoo and the conditioner into their hair. As whoever it was praying for, she just felt this empowering in her life that actually she had the opportunity now to pray for more people, and this vicar, pastor, minister got just once a week when he got a few to pray for. She was doing it every day, day in, day out. So from that moment on, her life flourished, because every day with however many, several clients that she dealt with, as she wet their hair and began to sort of massage the shampoo and the conditioner in, she saw this as God's opportunity for her to just lay hands on people and pray for them. Wow. And so she went on a mission then for the rest of her days, absolutely overwhelmed with the thought that, you know, I mean, she, you know, I'm obviously not talking that she prayed out loud, God bless this person, make their hair work, you know, actually just in her heart as she's laying hands on them and massaging their head, she's praying God's blessing on them. Some of them she knew, some people she didn't know. She prayed for their family, she prayed for their work. She had no idea what they were going through at the moment, but somehow she felt an empowering of God to flourish in her life and let the Jesus inside of her just radiate out in a way that very few people get in the opportunities that they have. Years on from there, she continued to do that, to continue to pray for people. She doesn't come back with incredible stories of this happened or that happened or a miracle there or a great story there. But the one thing she knew was that hundreds upon hundreds of people had been prayed for because of the location and situation that she was in, and allowing God to flourish through her life. Let me give some context to this and continue stories. Genesis chapter 12. Here's these words on the screen for you now, and just hover around this for a minute or two. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. All the bit before that of the Bible is the sad story of loss, sin coming into the world. Immediately, if you know your Bible, you know that out of that, then God begins a journey of redemption, of reconciliation. But it needs people to respond. It needs people to have relationship, not just with him, but with other people around. But as you look at this statement here, this is absolutely massive. There are parts of the Bible that are written for the moment and in the moment and very relevant, particularly to the people who heard them or listened to them. There is so much of the Bible, though, that goes beyond that and has implications way beyond the generation and people and time that is written to. This is probably one of the biggest of all in terms of its implication. But as God speaks this, just for a moment, if you're rolling with me here, get the idea of how God sees this as he's speaking it, how Abraham sees this as he's receiving it. And I, without doing Abraham a disservice, I think there's quite a gap between what Abraham's hearing and picturing and what God's speaking and seeing. And it's very simple, because this has implications for us today. This is the beginning of what we know as the people of Israel. Part of God's reconciliation and redemption plan is birthed right in this very, very short statement. Abraham, you're going to be the father of nations. If you brought up in Sunday school many years ago, you remember the song, Father Abraham. Many sons, and I am one. And it went on for about 45 minutes. Pre-Hillsong. but in the simplicity of a song like that, there's a deep-seated truth. God was calling a people who would be obedient to his call, where his glory would sit, and out of that group of people, he would radiate his glory to every nation, people, tongue, and language all around. The same applies with you and I today. And the simplicity of this is just great. Just look at the word in here. You see, number one, how does this apply to us? It applies in the fact that God was not blessing them for themselves. He was blessing them for all nations. Implication number one to you and I as modern day Christians. We've said already, Abraham had no idea of the size and implication of what God was saying here. And if he's looking back on history now, wow, I'm sure he's absolutely blown away with what he sees that ran out of this. Implication number two to you and I. Some things that seem small and insignificant, some situations that we get into that might not be quite world-shattering, that might not in the immediate touch thousands of people. Who knows what God can do through a simple act of obedience or response through our lives to the world around? And I've got some stories to support that in a minute. And of course, the biggest picture coming out of this, when we talk about all nations on earth will be blessed by you, is probably what many would consider one of the boring bits of the Bible. Go to Matthew chapter 1 and you've got a whole chapter there. I'm sure you've already, I won't ask you to put your hand up. It's what we call the genealogies. Why do I say that? Because it begins with Abraham, runs through all the generations, to about verse 16 of Matthew chapter 1. And it ends with Jesus. The one who now, through you and I, is the true blesser of all nations. Because through the gospel, through his death and resurrection, everyone, Jew, Gentile, whatever color, creed, language you have, we are drawn together under one gospel, under one message. Oh! That's a bit of a journey in just a few minutes from a few verses spoken to a guy who was trying to respond to God, who ultimately, through him, not just through his nation, but through his line going on, truly, without any shadow of a doubt, was somebody who blessed and blesses nations. All them involve us. Linda discovered a little bit of that in the world in which she works. Because part of the challenge there was when Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, that's not just a geographical thing. Your world, my world, the people we mix with, the people we live with, the people we work with, go into all the world. So let's move from Linda to Pete. A man who I love dearly. He was the pastor of the church where I came to faith. He was the gaffer who employed me for a few years when I traveled around the country in sort of an evangelist way. And he was our, nearly 40 years ago, our best man for Jane and I. I love Pete to bits. He's over 80 years of age now, still working 60, 65 hours a week, and you'll understand why. Always had a heart for the poor. He retired a few years ago, well, supposedly retired from leading church. And God spoke to him. And he decided he would take a little bit of the lump sum of his pension as well as his, you know, his monthly income. And as he got hold of that, and I'm not exactly sure how much that was, he felt the Holy Spirit say to him, this is going to multiply and it's going to help homeless people. With it, and with the consultation of his family, his six kids and I think 25 grandkids. Just shudder for a moment. Yeah. reel it back. He bought a property. Set up a thing, you can see it online, have a look, called Green Pastures. With a vision to end homelessness. Which sounds, you know, people laugh, don't they? You know, you've got a few quid out of a pension pot here, you're going to end homelessness. 20 years on now, I checked the figures just the other day. They have mega millions of properties. They house nearly 2,000 people. They employ 70 people in green pastures. They haven't ended homelessness, but they're making a little bit of a dent in it. Their aim is to, from now on, as the people behind him take on the possibilities, is to house another 1,000 people every year. He had a meeting with Rishi, the man in the man of the moment, and he was challenged by him to not just buy properties and therefore, you know, make sure there's no properties empty, but actually, what about the challenge of building properties? So they're venturing into that now with a smile on their face, in a way that they may not be blessing nations as in the world knows about them, but the nation that they work in, the vision that God has given them, is allowing them to flourish in what they do and have some effect upon the world around. Why am I saying this? Not just to give you glam stories that we can all go, wow, they're just great, aren't they? Yes, they are. And there's not many of them around. But what about your story? The many people online that are joining us this morning, what about the world in which you live and this call to flourish, this idea that you are blessed to be a blessing? Even a quote from the book that we've all read, that I think Mark Burns quoted last week. John Ortberg says this: the truth is that those who flourish always bring blessing to others. The richness of what Jesus has put in your life hopefully makes you yell with joy every day because of his salvation, But actually, that yell of joy is meant to be heard by people around you, because like Abraham, like Linda, like Pete, like millions of others, you and I are blessed to be a blessing. So just take yourself into Monday morning, the great joy of everybody's week. Some people here and many of you online will be going into schools, whether that's into the offices or into the classroom. And the great joy of God's call upon your life through what you teach, but not just through what you teach, but actually helping kids to flourish and find their place and become socially active. That's got to be a massive blessing in your life to bless others with. The many people in the caring profession, dealing with people who are not in a good state of mind and health. And suddenly when it comes to some of the big issues of life, you know, cancer enters the vocabulary from families and it just rocks your world. But why does it do that? Because what we want to do is not particularly teach people to hate cancer. Take the opposite angle. Help people to love life. And as you do that, whatever might come of ill health or whatever come into your world to affront that, suddenly there's something about something inside of you that wants to see people well. You can not just care for them in the training that you've got as nurses, doctors, whatever part of the care profession you're in, but the prayers that you can pray silently, the words of encouragement you can share in a positive way. Blessed to be a blessing. People who work in the area of finance, the list goes on and on and on. And of course, the greatest job in all the world is not the PM, it's being a parent. And I encourage all of us here to don't just raise a generation of kids who will survive, but take hold of the word that's here. Kids that will flourish, will have adventure and ambition and drive. That's irrelevant of whatever sort of social standing you've got, whatever your bank account looks like. I love it when, you know, young kids want to play for England. Of course you do, and I hope you do. And any parent listening out there, because none in the building would do this, don't mock them, don't laugh, don't say it will never happen. Encourage them to live the dream. Blessed to be a blessing. In Life Church language, it's 168. You'll see that on a lot of stuff that we do. Between 22:11 now and 22:11 next week, you've got 168 hours. The hour that you're spending here this morning, it's just a tiny little fragment. The rest of the week, beyond sleeping and eating and all them things we have to do to stay sane, you are blessed to be a blessing. Got a little bag here, I don't know if you can see. It's got loads of little scraps of paper in there. That sits on my desk at home. And not all the time, but from time to time, it moves me, like in an emotional way. Because many of you are aware of all that we're doing as a church in Kenya and what we've invested there over the years and what we're continuing to do. I had the opportunity, the first time I ever had the opportunity to go was, believe it or not, 2012, 10 years ago. And I sat there in the blazing heat of Kenya. One or two of you have been. If not, go with Jeremy. It's amazing. And I'd been asked to speak at a conference. It was 4 days. It was sort of like a young leaders conference, which in Africa just means anybody. And there were a big crowd of, I guess, 18 to 30 year olds. And I remember it well. We talked about Samuel and his life story back there in the Old Testament. And for days we drew it out and learned some great principles. And these guys were getting excited about the thought of it. And then at the end of the week, and this is the very bag, I got them to write on a little bit of paper the very thing I'm talking to you about now, that you're blessed to be a blessing. So, you know, some of these guys are going to be potentially in the late 30s, 40s now. It's 10 years on. And they wrote on there some great stuff. Many of them want to win people for Jesus. I know this because I just read them the other day. Some of them want to be car mechanics. Some of them want to be solicitors, doctors, just driving that ambition that Jesus is in their lives now and they are blessed to be a blessing. So if flourishing is about you and I getting to grips with life, getting to grips with God, getting to grips with his agenda for our lives, then mix all that together. Put it in the oven and what comes out is a life that is going to flourish, does flourish, and will have impact on people around. And I want to take an opportunity for a few moments for all you guys that are sat at home there and for the people that are here, just to pray as we conclude this series and next week have an amazing kids' morning together before the summer kicks in and everybody goes on the halls. I just want to pray God's release in you to go. Go on, get out of here, on your way. And go do the very thing that Jesus lives in your life to do. If ever there was a time for it, now. Sarah's just prayed a beautiful prayer of the stuff that I'm sure you're probably fed up with by now. But you can bring some light and life, perhaps even just some humour into a situation that people get wound up about in a serious way. That might just be what God calls you to do. There might be prayers that you can pray. There might be a bit of hope you can bring in by just suggesting there's a greater power that is sovereign beyond any politician, prime minister, president. That's the flourishing nature of blessed to be. A blessing. So if you don't mind, just if you're still here with me, just stand for a moment if you would. Thank you in the building here. And you guys at home, I'd invite you, be brave with your other half or whoever you're there with. Stand. And as you stand, just close your eyes and receive the blessing of this prayer as the Holy Spirit touches you. Because I'm just going to pray that we'll all, most of us, I guess, believers, will be alert and awake to every opportunity of whatever we can contribute into this world around us. Don't hide, because the words that Jesus spoke are, I've put you on a hill to shine. I've made you a light. I've made you like salt, to bring out the flavors of the earth and like light to bring out the colors of the earth. Let's go do that, guys. Father God. Come on, just close your eyes now and let's just for a moment allow the Holy Spirit to just deeply penetrate our hearts so that we're not just caught in an emotional moment with a few stories that are good and stir us and a verse from the Bible that clearly is right and provocative, but we want to go out and do this tonight, tomorrow, next week. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And I ask now that for each one of us both stood here in the building and stood or sat in our homes or wherever we are, that right now your Holy Spirit will just touch every single one of us. For those areas that we've mentioned, Lord, we pray for every child who is part of this Life Church family who is listening, that in their school situation, you would give them boldness and confidence to stand for what is right and true. For those in the caring profession that at times can be so overwhelmed with just the massive stuff going on around them, that in all of that, that the tenderness of Jesus Christ would radiate through their words and through their reaction response to people. For those in education, as they look out, Lord, to this mass of kids in front of them, may there be moments when they're caught with a prayer in their hearts that these kids here might just somehow find you and find life and be able to lift themselves above some of the awful circumstances that surround them, are trying to inflict themselves upon them. For those that are in the world of finance, give them integrity and righteousness. Help them to lead with definition and purpose. Many of the professions we could name, and we give them to you. Thank you for the opportunity. For every parent that we've mentioned, I just pray that you would just bless them. Give them peace. Give them strength, wisdom, grace. All those things that are sometimes needed in a moment and certainly needed at some time in our parenting. May we speak words of hope and life and purpose to see the kids that you've blessed us with flourish and their lives begin to have meaning and purpose and go out to live a life that just expresses you. Holy Spirit, come now, we pray, in only the way that you can, with that rich anointing oil. Pour upon each one of us. Take us out of this place with intention and purpose, we pray. Lord, that we might be a true blessing to nations. Oh, God. Just take a moment to just soak that up. Paul and the guys are going to come and lead us in some more worship. But just allow, as we sing, the Holy Spirit just to almost feel it covering us. That oil that's often described in the Old Testament, where it's on his head and runs down his beard, down his clothes, and he smells of that anointing oil. The Bible tells us we are the fragrance of Christ. Go into this world this week, guys, smelling of Jesus, the fragrance of Christ on us all.